Next Sunday, we're going to start a new sermon series, and I'm excited about it. You got a little card with the apple and the oranges on it. It's called Beyond Comparison. If you remember the Fearless series, anybody remember the Fearless series? At the end of the Fearless series, I said, I'm going away for a week, and I'm going to write. This is what I wrote. This is the draft of a book I hope to have someday, but we're going to spend the next 5 Sundays kind of preaching through that book. And so we'll start next week with a sermon series that's called Beyond Comparison. It reminds us of the fact, 2 things. One, that God's love is beyond comparison. And the other is that, you know what, we've spent a lot of our time comparing ourselves to the people around us, and we've got to get beyond that. The idea that, hey, we're pretty good because the people around us aren't so good, at least the people we choose to compare ourselves to. Or the opposite's true as well. We compare ourselves to the saints that we know and think, oh, God can't be too happy with me. And the reminder is that God loves us right where we are. Sure, he might not be happy with what we're doing all the time, but he loves us right where we are. And so for the next 5 weeks, that's what we're going to be spending some time talking through. And the reason why I gave you those cards is not necessarily for you. I'd really like you to give them away. And we have more of them if you would like. This sermon series was intended to be the outdoor sermon series out on the streets, out there somewhere in a park. We didn't get a park. So we're trying to get you all to do the work to bring people here instead of us going there. And that's the idea behind this. And we hope that you'll share these and we can begin to bring people in who maybe have never come to church before or who have a preconceived notion of church that they don't like. And they need to hear that, or who are pretty sure God's given up on them because they've messed up so bad. And those are the people that need that connection, and that's what we hope to provide in the weeks coming. And so we hope that you'll share those with people that you know who are in need of knowing that God is right there with them and loving them, even though they might feel that they are somehow outside of God's love. So bring a friend next Sunday as we'll take a look at what it means to move beyond comparison. Scripture lesson I want to share today is from the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter, and it's verses 1 through 20. And I'm reading from a scripture translation called The Message. It reads this way. They arrived on the other side of the sea in the country of the Gerasenes. Now, Jesus and the disciples, right before this story is the story where they're on the boat and the storm and the wind and the waves come up and Jesus calms the sea and the disciples say, who is this guy that he can do that? The wind and seas calm down and they go to the other side and they get to where they're going, and here they find themselves in the country of the Gerasenes. And as Jesus got out of the boat, a madman from the cemetery came up to him. He lived there among tombs and graves, and no one could restrain him. He couldn't be chained, couldn't be tied down. He'd been tied up many times with chains and ropes, but he broke the chains and snapped the ropes. No one was strong enough to tame him. Night and day he roamed through the graves and the hills, screaming out and slashing himself with sharp stones. I use this passage with youth. He's the first cutter that I know of in the Bible, just kind of making sure he could feel things by cutting himself with sharp stones. When he saw Jesus a long way off, he ran and bowed in worship before Jesus and then bellowed in protest, "What business do you have, Jesus, Son of the High God, messing with me? I swear to God, don't give me a hard time." Jesus had just commanded the tormenting evil spirit, "Out, get out of the man." When Jesus asked him, "Tell me your name." He replied, "My name is Mob." Other translations use the word legion. "My name is Mob. I'm a rioting mob." Then he desperately begged Jesus not to banish them from the country. And a large herd of pigs was browsing and rooting on a nearby hill. And the demons begged him, "Send us to the pigs so that we can live in them." And Jesus gave the order. But it was even worse for the pigs than for the man. Crazed, they stampeded over a cliff into the sea and drowned. Those tending the pigs, scared to death, bolted and told their story in town and country. Everyone wanted to see what had happened. They came up to Jesus and saw the man mad sitting there wearing decent clothes and making sense, no longer a walking madhouse of a man. Those who had seen it told the others what had happened to the demon-possessed man and the pigs. At first they were in awe, and then they were upset over the drowned pigs. They demanded that Jesus leave and not come back. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the demon-delivered man begged to go along, but he wouldn't let him. Jesus said, "Go home to your own people. Tell them your story, what the master did, how he had mercy on you." And the man went back and began to preach in the 10 towns area about what Jesus had done for him. He was the talk of the town. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Yesterday at 6:30 in the morning, I was in the parking lot with the high school youth group getting ready to go on a mission trip. 13 youth and 4 adults heading to beautiful Parsons, Kansas to go, and that's the crew before they left. Knowing what little I do about Parsons, they will probably spend this week painting houses, building access ramps, and doing other minor repair work around the homes of an older, economically depressed population. And they will be a witness to the people that they serve just by being there. By doing for them that which they cannot do for themselves, they become the hands and feet of Jesus. About a month ago, I stood in the parking lot and welcomed the middle school youth group back. There were 24 of them on that trip. That means 41 people. Nobody went on both this year, which is really remarkable, and I think the first time we've done that in some time. Nobody went on both trips, so 41 different people went on a week-long mission trip this summer, either with our middle school youth or a high school youth. I don't know about you, but I look at those pictures and I'm always so proud of them as I get ready to go off and do those things. Now, don't get me wrong. They go with a ton of motives. Yesterday in the parking lot, I heard, "Oh, man, I forgot my lightsaber." Okay. It's become kind of a tradition among our high school boys to take plastic lightsabers on mission trips and have late night, much to the dismay of those of us who'd like to sleep, lightsaber fights. And that's why they go. You know, they don't all have altruistic motives. They're most looking forward to goofing off. Others are just looking for a week out of the house, and they're thrilled with that. Or a week away from the summer job that is driving them crazy. But in the process of going to serve, wonderful things happen in their lives. As they were getting ready to leave, because they come with all these different motives, I shared with them a passage of scripture that I like to share with those leaving on mission trips. And I like it a lot because even in the NIV, which is a more traditional translation of scripture, it comes across like I would say it. James chapter 2 verse 18 says this, "Someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do.'" Amen to that. "I'll show you my faith by what I do." And I want to remind the youth of that, is that just by what they do, they're sharing their faith with the people that they come into contact with, even on that mission trip. And you know what? That's nice to do on a mission trip. But what about the other 51 weeks a year? I've talked to youth about that. We spend 1 week out doing mission. But what about the other 51? What if we treated every day like it was a mission trip? What if every day we were asking God, "What do you want me to do today for you?" That's what intrigues me today about this Bible passage. There's lots of things we could talk about in this passage. This is filled with fun stuff. Demons and a madman and a healing and pigs who drown themselves. There's a cool Sunday school story in here somewhere. But I just want to look at that last piece. As Jesus is trying to leave, our madman, mob or legion, he's given that name, is healed from his demons. This guy who is totally out of control finally finds himself controlled. The one who couldn't be restrained is sitting there as people come to meet him. Liberated, he comes up to Jesus, and what does he do? "Can I go with you?"
I'm with him.
You know, this is the equivalent of Jesus has, in essence, one foot in the boat. He's getting ready to go. It's like the equivalent of pulling the car out of the driveway. And the madman runs up and says, "Can I come?" And maybe that's a nice way of saying, "Don't leave me here all by myself now." And how does Jesus respond? "Oh, come away from these people who've done horrible things to you and tied you to gravestones." No, that's not what Jesus says. "And now that you're healed and you've been released from your demons, you need to come away with us so that you don't backslide into the demons again." No, that's not what Jesus says. "We're putting together a holy group of people, and now that you're healed, you're qualified. Come with us." No, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus refuses to let him come. And he says, "Go home. Go home. Go home to your own people. Tell them your story, what the Master did, how he had mercy on you. Go home." How'd you felt if Jesus told you that? Excited? Not me. Two things come to mind quickly. A, disappointed. In fact, I probably would have, well, I don't know if I would have, but I would have liked to argue with Jesus. "Hey, I could help now. I've got a great story to tell people about what you've done for me. I could be a great benefit to you. I could serve you in thanksgiving for what you've done for me." But Jesus says no and go home. Secondly, I'd be scared. I don't want to go home. Those people know me, and they know the worst of me. They've known the ugly side, and will they accept the good side? Would it be easier just to run away with Jesus and go find new people who don't know the demon guy? But Jesus says, no, go home. I think it's a fairly common notion that we want the exciting project to be given to us by Jesus. I've had this happen when picking mission trip locations. Everybody wants to go to Haiti. Haiti has a great need. And when we went to Bay St. Louis, Mississippi to do Hurricane Katrina cleanup, the community got excited. And people were thrilled to have us wash their car, to give us some money so that we could go and do Hurricane Katrina relief. But Parsons, Kansas, who cares? And the middle schoolers went to Loveland, Colorado. Who cares? Or the soup kitchen downtown. That's not exciting. Or Tri-Lakes Cares down the hill. That's too close to home. Why do we go to those places? And it happens on the mission trip as well. One of the high schoolers tonight who's had freshman shop class and thinks they can build a house all by themselves is going to get assigned to a crew that has to paint or pull weeds. And there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Or whining and grinding of teeth. You know, I mean, there's going to be some tension there because I could do so much more. Why am I stuck doing this little thing? And it never fails that somewhere on the mission trip, when we give ourselves and allow ourselves to have God work in us and through us, we may not like the work that we get because it's just assigned to us, but somewhere during the week, a light bulb comes on and God says, "This is why you're here. I put you in this situation for a reason." It never fails that the one who starts the week afraid of old people gets assigned to the elder care facility every time. It just never fails that the one who has no skill and put zeros on all the things, "I can't paint, I can't pound nails, I can't do anything," is building a wheelchair ramp with a group of teenagers. And the experienced ones are off painting houses. And we wonder why. God, why am I here? Dr. Gary Morse, the founder of Heart to Heart International, an organization that is providing medical care all across the globe for people in need. He tells a story of an opportunity that he had to serve with Mother Teresa and the Sisters of Mercy in Calcutta. And he tells about how he paid a lot of money and took off time to go to Calcutta to serve with Mother Teresa. He arrived and introduced himself to her. And he wanted to be kind of, you know, he's a physician. So he brought his duffel bag of medicine and had a stethoscope around his neck and introduced himself to Mother Teresa. And he wanted her to know that he was there to see patients. She got a lot of volunteers, but very few that were actually physicians. Mother Teresa very gently gave him a piece of paper and said, "Go see Sister Priscilla, who runs the Home for the Dying across town." He took the piece of paper with a stethoscope around his neck and a bag of medicine, and he walked across, and he was thrilled. Now, only a doctor would be thrilled to go to the House for the Dying, but he was thrilled. That's where he's going. That's where he came to do. That's where he came to serve. He saw Sister Priscilla. He gave her the piece of paper. She read the piece of paper, smiled, and said, "Come with me." She led him to this one room. And it was a room filled with cots and men who were dying. It was obviously the men's ward. And he thought, this is where I'm called to serve. But she kept walking right through the men's ward to another room, very similar, filled with cots. And this time, the only difference was there were women. And so he thought, how nice, they take care of the women first, you know, and they're going to let me work with the women. And no, she kept going. Sister Priscilla just kept going. She opened another door, and they came to the kitchen, and he thought, how nice, they're going to serve me lunch before I get to work. And Sister Priscilla kept working, walking. She walked to the back of the kitchen. She opened the door, and out in the alleyway, there was a bucket, a shovel, and a 4-foot pile of garbage. And he said, this isn't American garbage. This was real garbage. And he was asked by Sister Priscilla to take the bucket and move a 4-foot pile of garbage, a bucket at a time, to the dump across town. He says he never thought to take off a stethoscope. It was around his neck the whole time while he shoveled garbage and carried it across town. Hour by hour, he did this, and he said trip by trip, he got angrier and angrier. This isn't why I was called to be here. They're just not using my skills. They don't see the value that I could bring to this place. The day was over, and all that was left to do was say goodbye. He had gotten his pile of garbage to the dump, and he went in back to find Sister Priscilla, and he found another sister and said, could you bring Sister Priscilla to me so that I can say goodbye? And while he was waiting in a gathering room, he saw the words of Mother Teresa handwritten on a poster, and they simply said this: we can do no great things, only small things with great love. And he said, and then I knew why I was there. We don't necessarily do great things, just small things with great love. You know, it's fairly easy to go on a mission trip and know what you're called to do. And if you haven't been, that McCurdy school trip, I highly recommend to you for 4 days in New Mexico. It's not far, it's not expensive, and if you can go, it's a great way to just kind of serve others as we get a school ready for the year ahead. But what if we began every day and viewed it as an opportunity to serve God, to ask in our ordinary, everyday, regular life, God, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to serve? What if everywhere we looked, we wondered why God put us in that particular situation at that moment? Pastor Bob last week said, if you were here, you heard him say that it's amazing that we're a church of 500 members in a place that nobody can find. Pastor Bob leads used to say a similar thing. No one comes to TLUMC by accident. You have to come here on purpose or you would never find it. And so the question becomes, why are you here? Not why are we here? And not an existential thing of, you know, why are we here? Why are you in this place at this time? What gifts has God given you? What call is he placing on you to serve this community, to serve this body, to be his witnesses in this place? But stretch that out a little bit more. Why has God placed you in the place where you work? Why'd God give you that annoying friend? Why did God have your sister-in-law tell you that? Why did God have that mom with the three kids dangling from her shopping cart in perfect timing with you so that you crossed paths down every aisle of the grocery store and then wound up in the same checkout line? Why? Why does God place you in the places you are? Why did God have that person cutting my hair tell me so much about her life? Why did God make the house with the grumpy neighbor available and affordable to me? For what purpose did God put me in the right place at the right time? Or, depending on your perspective, the wrong place at the wrong time? What opportunities is God opening up to us that we miss? The madman, recently healed, said, "Can I go with you, Jesus, and do something exciting?" And Jesus said, "Go home. Go home and tell your story. Every day, just tell your story. Maybe you think you can't do anything great, but you can do small things with great love. God has you right where he wants you." Let's pray together. Sometimes, God, it's real easy to look ahead or look back to the times where we think we'll meet you or where we've met you in the past and not recognize the fact that you're right here, right now. And that you're calling us to be witnesses to your kingdom in this place. To bring comfort and relief to those who are weary, to give strength to those who are weak, and to simply share our stories with those that we come into contact with. Guide us and direct us, oh God. And you know what? Just nag that question in our minds throughout the weeks ahead. Why did that happen? Are you asking me to do something for you? Keep that with us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.